I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, hey, everybody. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran on this Christmas Eve morning, live from the Allstate Skyline Studios here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. You can call or text anytime throughout the show this morning. It is the Dave Trifecta on the morning show this morning. Good morning, Dave Bennett.
Good morning, Dave Plyer.
What's going on? 7 years, never worked together.
I know. Isn't this amazing?
It's wild.
I've seen you once in a while.
Once in a while.
Offering donuts.
We wave to each other. Yeah, exactly. And Dave Schwann, of course, always joining me on the holidays. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. You got a Merry Christmas little cold going on
for yourself. Yeah, actually, I am very happy to report that it is much better than it was the other day.
I'm going to knock on wood and say, usually by this time, I am so worn out by all the holiday festivities.
Oh, yeah.
I have a cold. Remember, it's always Christmas Day. I'm like dying. For some reason, I've gotten away with this so far, but I'm lathering up. Emma Plyer also joining us in studio this morning. Good morning, honey.
Good morning.
The bright spot in the studio.
Yeah, I'm telling you. She's 13. Going to hang out with us this morning. And along, my two sons are going to join us a little later. Alex, my six-year-old, did not think getting up at 4:30 was cool.
Well, it's not.
Some of us have to do it. Yeah, it's exactly right. He says to me when I said, hey, we're going back down to the studio because about a week ago, we taped the Plyer Family Christmas that airs tomorrow morning at like 8:30 in the morning. And I said, hey, you're going to have to step in. We're going to the radio studio. He goes, I am not doing the news. Yeah. And I'm like, don't worry about it. You're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. Curtis, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning.
What are the big plans today for everybody? Like any holiday traditions, Dave Bennett? What is the family doing today?
We are going over. We go to my sister-in-law's house, which is nearby.
Okay.
And our kids are coming up from the city.
Nice.
And then we're going to have dinner there, and the tradition is to watch Elf.
Oh, nice.
So every year.
Nice.
And my nieces can pretty much recite it, and my daughter, too, pretty much word for word.
Isn't it amazing that has become as popular, like, as It's a Wonderful Life and Miracle on 34th Street? I mean, that is as traditional as those classic movies.
Well, it's just kind of a sweet story.
Yeah.
And it's Will Ferrell, and he's funny.
That's right.
So
look for this. So Peter Billingsley from A Christmas Carol, Ralphie, he's in Elf. So he's the guy that walks up behind Will Ferrell with the Etch-A-Sketches and says, okay, how many did we get done today? That's Ralphie.
Oh, is that right?
That was a little cameo that he had.
I didn't realize that either. I can point that out tonight.
You can.
They'll think I'm really smart.
You're a really cool guy. That's exactly
right.
They'd
be wrong.
What about you, Dave?
Well, I am looking forward to some peace and quiet.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Going out. Yeah. We're done here today.
Yeah.
And then I'll go out to my dad's later this afternoon.
Right.
And spend Christmas with him and some friends.
But you do dinner out tomorrow, don't you, traditionally?
We'll do dinner out tomorrow, Christmas Eve dinner.
Yeah.
And then Christmas Day, we make dinner, and some friends may be over tomorrow for dinner or just after dinner.
Nice.
If they show up during dinner, fine. We've got plenty of food.
Swanson Popeyes?
The TV dinners.
TV dinners,
with
nice.
The TV tables.
Yes. Ooh, nice.
Set up.
Nice. The little apple pie in the center.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
But there is a butcher shop in Three Oaks, Michigan. That's been in the family since 1875, Dreyer's Meat Market.
Wow.
And get this, every time I've gone in there, I've heard WGN radio on.
Really?
The store.
Oh, don't you love that?
Yes. And all of the meat is prepared by them. And there, I got a Christmas ham from them 2 years ago. It was the best we ever had. So it is worth the trip to go up there and
nice.
Get it. I did that a couple weeks ago. It's in my fridge
right
now.
You got it. It's ready to go. All right.
And it will be on the road this afternoon.
Nice. Nice. Curtis, what about you, buddy?
We host Christmas Day, so we will have about 20 family members at our house.
Not bad.
And we'll have Christmas dinner, have presents. Lots of people bring desserts, so we'll have a mixture of arrays of stuff. My mom makes homemade chocolate mousse, so we'll have that as like the main dessert. Everybody gets one of those. And then,
nice.
Are you bringing in some for everybody?
You'll have to contact my mom about that.
Okay.
She already got all the ingredients for the batch of family members.
And the biscotti were great the other day.
Oh, she was thrilled that you guys liked that. All
they
of
were.
That.
So if you have any leftovers, we would love that.
We do still have some leftovers. We have some gingerbread ones left over.
Oh, I'll take those.
So I'll have to bring those in after Christmas, the leftover ones.
Well, Bang Bang Pie gave us a pretzel mint pie this morning to share amongst ourselves. Jen, what about you?
Well, I'm seeing lots of family, but I'm also excited. I feel like it's the first Christmas that I haven't worked in years.
Oh, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Some of us are working virtually because we taped all of our stuff already. That was yesterday. We, Em and I, we had a little holiday gathering a couple weeks ago, and we had about 140-some people walk through our house from 7 a.m. till about, or 7 p.m. to like 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
It was a little crazy. We had our Polish family Christmas, and we usually do that not on Christmas, which maybe makes it Polish. I'm Polish. I can tell jokes, but we do it on the Saturday before, and it's about 40 people, meatless, and it's pierogies, it's shrimp, it's fish, right? And it's mushroom really soup, good. Imported yes. mushroom soup and stuff. So we did that. Today's my in-laws. We've got some work to do over at the church, right? Mm-hmm. We always participate in that. What else? What else we got going on? Grandma's in the hospital. So that's kind of about my... Yeah. Dad had a heart attack like the week of Thanksgiving. Massive heart attack. His third.
Oh, man.
I know, crazy. He's doing great, but he's also my mom's caregiver. My mom's been having a hard time, so she went in the hospital yesterday. So I think we're going to spend part of the day tomorrow at Lutheran General just visiting grandma, and then we're going to have some family over later for dinner. So keep grandma in your prayers,
absolutely.
Everybody. Good stuff there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Whole family.
Whole family. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. We've got a big show today. I'm going to give you a little preview before we get to the top six at six. First off, the folks from Navy Pier are going to join us. They have that Winter Wonderfest every single year. Am I right? They're joining us, Curtis?
Yep, 6:50.
It's been confirmed? Okay, good. Lots of fun things to do over holiday break there, and I think they're open till the 6th, so we'll talk to them about that. It is the 65th anniversary of, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Susie, Snowflake, Frosty the Snowman.
Sure.
Sure. It's Susie's 65th, and so we'll play a little bit of that. And
you
some
can
Hard
ask
Rock
Swanee
Cocoa
to sing
show.
That for you. He's very good at it.
No, not with
you
his
do
cold.
That? Okay,
no.
All right. Yeah, that's a classic that aired on Garfield Goose back in the day. And about 7-8 years ago, we digitally remastered them. And they're black and white, of course, and they were a little messy. And we actually had the guy that did it. There were strings that held some of the puppets. And he took out all the strings, which is not cool because that's part of the, you know, ambiance of this film, right? So he put them all back in. He had to erase them and put them all back in so you could see some of that classic stuff. But I remember saying to Josh, our 17-year-old, when he was a kid, I said, look, we fixed these shorts. He goes, you didn't fix them. They're still black and white. I'm like, okay, you're right. Yeah.
Not acceptable.
No, not acceptable at all. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then Peter Billingsley, who played Ralphie, and A Christmas Story. He's a big-time producer and director. He did Iron Man some years ago. He's Vince Vaughn's production partner. He's got a series all over Netflix. Really cool guy. As we said, he was an elf, too. But he's going to join us at 7:20.
Are they doing the Christmas Story marathon?
On TNT or TBS, I think. Yeah, it's all day today. Good. It's into tomorrow.
All right.
Absolutely.
And then a New Year's Eve tradition for me?
Yes.
Twilight Zone marathon.
Twilight Zone.
Sci-fi channel.
Didn't, you know, Family Classics used to air the Marx Brothers, and I think Dean is hosting a Family
He's
Classics,
He's doing a Marx
right?
Brothers Family Classics.
On New Year's. Yeah. On New Year's Eve night, right. I think, right? Yeah. Elliot Bamber from WGN-TV Chicago's Best is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about restaurants that are open on Christmas Day, and you know, because it's family tradition sometimes to go out and have dinner. So where do you go in some of the hot spots around Chicago, and then some of the chains that are open? We'll talk about that. Plus, is Chicago's Best of the Year, Johnny Mathis, legend. This guy, he his voice, and I've seen him live in concert because I've taken my mom. Sounds exactly the same. This guy, and his Christmas album is 60 years old this week, which is crazy. Guy sold 350 million albums.
His Christmas album goes back that far?
Yeah, 1958.
1958.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I thought it was newer than that. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, it still holds, I'm sure.
You high school? Were you in high school? No. Okay. All right.
No, I was two.
You were
Truth
two.
Be known, I was two.
Okay, fair enough. And then during that CLTV hour, we got Colonel Blaise Supich coming in. We're going to talk a little bit about Renew My Church, which he's doing around the Archdiocese of Chicago. Talk a little bit about having some peace over the holidays. We're in such a divisive environment, and, you know, all the Trump bashing, and then it's the Democrats versus the Republicans, and, You hear a little bit of that on this station as well, where how do you get through the holidays and kind of set that stuff aside and just kind of enjoy yourself? And we're going to talk to him about that. Santa's calling in. I know you guys got to get ready for that. Yeah, he's calling in about like 9:30.
He's hard to get.
I mean,
the president calls like a couple times a week with Cochran.
Yeah.
But Santa?
Santa. To get him, Curtis did a great booking job on this one because, I mean, He's a crazy man. It took me a lot of time to get to this guy. Yeah. So he's going to join
us. Mrs. Claus is his manager, right?
And I spoke to the other top elf, Adrian. He was up there. He was trying to get everything squared away, too. So it took a while, but we finally got it booked. So
I would imagine, you know, Santa has a cell phone with him these days.
Yeah.
So if he's out and around on the sleigh, you can get him.
You can get him.
Yeah, but can you imagine if somebody got a hold of Santa's cell phone number?
Not a good thing.
Yeah, so... Had to go through a few.
Or worse, if it got hacked.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Should we take a break before we do the top six at six? All right. Quick look at your morning traffic, Jen.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
That's right, Duff. American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Sixth caller gets a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. You can call in at 312-981-7200. I almost have seven because I was actually putting these together at about 3:30 this morning. And I was mentioning Sabatino's closed last night. Classic little Chicago restaurant, 49 years. And we went there yesterday. We did the Polar Express yesterday, downtown on the Metro, where you actually go around town. It was fabulous. And the kids were starving and had no reservations. And they don't really take reservations anymore since they've announced their closing. I know Dean went there Saturday night.
He had the owner on yesterday.
Yeah, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
one
cool.
One of the brothers.
Angelo, probably? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So... we walked in there, and literally, we were the last ones that got on the list. They put a sign outside at 4 o'clock and said, I cannot take one more person tonight, unless you'd like to be seated at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And I doubt that they would be open and serving.
Oh, man, the bar was just jammed with people and just having a good time, and it's just a legendary place in Chicago. It's just one of those things you just don't want to see go away.
Have you chatted with our engineer, Ben? He got in.
Did he get in, too? Oh, was he there last night?
He was.
Oh, I must have missed him.
He gets in everywhere.
He just flashes that WGN badge and gets right in there. I had the veal parm. It was crazy good. What does he do? The Cherry's Jubilee. He walks around to the tables and does the...
Oh, man. Yeah,
I didn't do that, though.
You know, Dean was talking about the things that they did on table side.
Yeah.
The desserts that they serve that you just don't see anymore.
No.
You mentioned Cherry's Jubilee. I haven't heard of that in years.
Yeah. And they always had the violins there and stuff, too. Cool stuff. Sabatino's last day was yesterday. All right, so let's take a look at our top six at six. Outgoing Defense Secretary Jim Mattis signed orders to pull in all-American troops out of Syria in the coming weeks. Pentagon officials refused to discuss specifics, including the timeline, citing operational security for the roughly 2,000 U.S. troops in Syria. Plans were set in motion hours after President Trump declared the Islamic State terror network defeated in Syria and ordered all American diplomats and soldiers out of the country. All right, a partial government shutdown remains in effect after funding expired for roughly a quarter of the federal government. It's not clear when it will end. Negotiations between congressional Democrats and the Trump administration over the president's demands for a border wall have so far not yielded an agreement, making it likely that the shutdown will continue until after Christmas. It's even possible that it could be underway when the new Congress starts in early January. All right, today, AAA says nearly 6 million people will be traveling in Illinois over the Christmas holiday. So you guys don't have to travel that far. We're lucky, I think.
About an hour for me.
Yeah, hour for you, and you're just
about
down the street.
35.
Right? That's not bad. That's not bad. My in-laws live about 6 blocks away, a little too close at times, but it's just It'll work.
Are you talking listening? About tonight? Yeah, we can go a couple blocks tonight.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's great.
You can have a cocktail and not worry about stumbling home. That's nice.
There's an idea.
The busiest time today on the roads, Jen DeSalvo, will be between 1:30 and 2:30.
Yep.
Busy time this afternoon.
It's probably when I'm going to be driving.
We'll double the travel times in some areas, according to AAA. A record-breaking 112.5 million travelers are taking to the nation's runways, roads, and rails. The anticipated number of holiday travelers is 4.4% above last year, the most that AAA has been tracking ever since they've been doing this. So 4.4% higher this year. A Minnesota-based poultry producer is recalling more than 164,000 pounds of raw ground turkey products that might be contaminated with salmonella. The Jenny O. Turkey Store products have markings that saying user freeze by November 12th and 13th. Emma, I went in the freezer. We had some of that. No, I'm serious. We make turkey tacos, right? Turkey Tuesdays. Yeah, that's absolutely right. The recall includes plain ground turkey and turkey with taco or Italian seasonings. The products were shipped to many states, including Illinois. Food safety officials are worried that the contaminated products might be in people's freezers. So take a look at that. The dates are November 12th and 13th. Number five, Johnny Depp has been officially dropped from the Pirates of the Caribbean film series.
No way.
You know, first of all, they said he's 55, which who cares? That's a young age. He was 14 years doing this, but they said they want to give an opportunity to reboot the series and start it over again. Are there no, like, new ideas in Hollywood? We got to reboot a really popular franchise. Why can't those movies just stand alone?
And what are they going to do with him on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride?
Oh, I'm sure they'll keep that.
He is in there now.
About a year ago, he showed up live at Disneyland and stood as if he was like a mannequin on the thing, and then started talking to people and walking on all the little boats that were floating by and talking to everybody. Johnny Depp in Disneyland. Isn't that crazy?
Did people think he was Captain Morgan, though?
It could be. That could be. But why reboot? Like, I just don't understand. Like, do we need that? Like, I cannot stand the word reboot. Like, TV series. Okay, now they're talking about 90210 coming back with the original cast. I think there's just no original ideas out there. Like, what happened to those days? Mary Poppins returns. Okay.
Original ideas went out the window when reality TV became a thing. And now everybody's just like,
come on.
We all have fried brains now from television.
I guess so.
Right?
I guess so. He played the lead role in the five films over 14 years that grossed over $4.5 billion, making it the 12th biggest franchise in movie history. So he's not a slouch there. All right. And number six, eggnog turns 325 years old this year.
Who knows that eggnog turns? Who was there and said, "Hey, today we invented eggnog"?
Well, there were tablet writings about. there were stuff back in way back when that they said that they. Okay, let me read it. Monks were known to drink posset with eggs and figs. So it was written and documented. I know it sounds,
Dave, awful.
You said you got a homemade batch.
Someone actually brought a gift bottle over.
Wow.
And it's got bourbon in it. I know we haven't opened it. It's sitting there. But
the homemade stuff compared to the store-bought stuff, I mean, it's night and day. Because my grandmother used to make it. And she used to keep her liquor underneath the sink. So she'd put like blackberry brandy and a little bourbon and stuff in there. But that stuff could be ridiculously potent. And then you think about liquor mixed with dairy products.
There is something about that.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. We drink a little eggnog, though. We do kind of the organic stuff, right, Emma?
Yes.
Emma, who's on her phone? Dave Bennett. Tell her, Dave, to get off her phone.
I'm not going to play the parent here, Dave.
All right. Okay. So anyway, milk, eggs, and sherry were foods to the wealthy back then. So eggnog was often used in toast in prosperity and good health. Eggnog became tied to the holidays when the drink hopped the pond in the 1700s. American colonies were full of farms and chickens and cows and sheep, or rum, a soon signature ingredient. Mexico adopted the very eggnog variantal rum pope, and Puerto Rico enjoys the coquito, which includes coconut milk. So the English's name, however, remains a mystery. Some say nog comes from noggin, meaning a wooden cup or grog, a strong beer. By the late 18th century, the combined term eggnog stuck. Over 135 million pounds. I think they'd say gallons, but maybe because it's egg and whatever else, they say 135 million pounds of eggnog are sold every year. And today is National Eggnog Day, naturally. Hey. So sit back and enjoy a glass on this
Christmas
Eve.
Coincides with Christmas Eve.
That's right.
Gee.
That's exactly right. And there you have it. We're going to talk a little bit. Dave and I do a segment on my show called This Is History, and we'll talk a little bit about the history of Christmas in Chicago right after this on 720 WGN.
Ask not.
The circus is on the air.
The president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Luke, may the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.I.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. Win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
All right, Dave Schwann. So we do this on our show every week.
You're looking at me and you're all right, Dave Schwann.
We do this every week on our show. A little history here. I thought we'd talk about history of Christmas in Chicago. I think one of the biggest traditions for people are going to what was Marshall Field's and Macy's, of course. And the holiday windows turned 51 this year. The holiday windows trace back to the history to the early days of Marshall Field's when the store was founded in 1852. As a dry goods business. A few years later, in 1897, Field's new display manager, Arthur Fraser, pioneered window design. His Christmas toy windows were especially enthralling. These windows continued through World War II, and during the war, a new idea struck the visual team, a plan that would make Marshall Field's as unforgettable as Santa. So they designed themed windows that spanned the length of State Street. I almost think they used to wrap around the building at some point. And
well,
they would tell
the
story.
They're on the north side of the building.
They're on the north.
In addition to the west side.
But they used to start kind of on the, they used to start on the north side. Yeah. Wrap around. Now they're just on State Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in the windows. And I think this year they're celebrating little parts and pieces of things that they found.
There were a few on the north side, though, this year.
Was there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And
I have to say,
right?
It is still terrific to see the kids getting excited about looking at this instead
think about
of looking
that.
At their phone.
At their phone.
Yeah.
Emma. No,
she's
looking at your
looking
phone.
At her phone. Oh, yes, she is. There it is.
Yeah, she's on it. She's waiting for the sunset over here at the studio. Okay, also 1946 was Marshall Field's introduced Uncle Mistletoe, which is kind of lost to audiences today. But,
yeah.
Montgomery Ward had Rudolph, which we'll talk about, but Marshall Field's had Uncle Mistletoe. So they created this little adventure. It was a TV series as well, and that became the icon. Actually, Uncle Mistletoe is on the great tree in the Walnut Room this year, which is also a tradition. The Walnut Room has been open since 1907.
Wow.
Which is
I didn't know
crazy,
it went
right?
back that long.
Yeah. It was a tea room made famous by Mrs. Herring's chicken pot pie in the late 1890s, becoming the very first restaurant in a department store anywhere. The restaurant adorned with Circassian wood imported from Russia and Austria and became a tradition of dining, especially around the holidays. I've done that all my life. We go every year, right, Emma?
Yes.
That's right. Still on her phone over there. Dave Schwann?
No.
Yeah, not every year, but
every
certainly,
year.
You know, a number of times. I have to tell you, I had a free afternoon a few weeks ago, and I've always loved going through Marshall Field's at this time of year and their Christmas department.
Yeah.
They moved the Christmas department, or most of it, onto the same floor as the Walnut Room and, candies this year. What they had this year, though, was really, really neat to see. An actual recreation of the Norman Rockwell painting of the Marshall Field's clock.
Oh, that's right.
With the, you know, with the
sitting
the clock
in the maker, hallway.
The clock repairman checking the time. He's up on the ladder
right.
and he's sitting there and he's looking at his pocket watch, fixing the clock and setting it at the right time.
It's a beautiful portrait.
But it's I love that painting.
Yeah.
And they have a recreation of it there. So it's kind of three-dimensional. When
That's
you look
cool.
at it, as well as an explanation as to how the clock came to be, where Marshall Field himself became aware of the fact that people were tucking notes
in
the corner
the
of the building saying,
Yeah, you know that.
And that, you know, got the idea for putting up a clock where people could meet as a landmark.
Meet me under the clock.
Meet me under the clock at Marshall Field's. Led to the Norman Rockwell painting, led to not Chicago history, but American history.
I love that. Absolutely cool. Also, in Marshall Field's, Frango turns 100 this year.
Oh, really?
The Frango Mint, yeah.
I sent Frango Mints out to my friends in L.A.
At the beginning of the Great Depression, Chicago-based Marshall Field's purchased Frederick and Nelson and its beloved Frango recipe. So it was 1918 that Frederick Nelson, back in Seattle, created Frango. But when Marshall Field's bought them in 1929, they were able pick up the brand and so forth. There's a great Frango ice cream pie in the Walnut Room that you can have. Good stuff. The Chicago's first official Christmas tree was brought over by these Christmas tree ships. Talk to me a little bit about that.
That was a business that was begun in the 19th century, prior to the heyday of rail travel, you know, before the railroads were complete, and shipping was done by boats. And one of the biggest reasons why Chicago became the shipping center for the world is because of what we can look at right out of our window, Dave, the Chicago River, and going into Lake Michigan, and thus from there out to the world. And in addition to, you know, shipping and meatpacking, and I've got a connection to meatpacking and Christmas here in just a moment in Chicago.
Sure.
Were a number of ships that would go up north. It was part of the lumber industry where they would go up north to northern Wisconsin, northern Michigan, and get trees that had been harvested for lumber, bring them back down here for milling, and thus being shipped out. Well, the Christmas tree business caught on, and one of the boats that was involved with that was called the Rouse Simmons. It was made in Milwaukee in the late 1860s and named for a Milwaukee businessman, Rouse Simmons.
Oh, okay.
Eventually purchased by a man by the name of Schunemann, August and Hermann Schunemann.
That name sounds familiar to me, right? Because they really started that tradition here.
To bring in Christmas trees from northern Michigan, and they went up there. We're talking the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It took a week for that boat to get back from northern Michigan.
But that was tradition to get it. People would wait for that
boat
to arrive, right?
They would wait for it, and they would tie up a Christmas tree to the mast of this three-masted schooner. That must have been an amazing sight to see coming down Lake Michigan. And bringing in upwards of 5,500 Christmas trees every year.
Wow.
And they would sell them at the Clark Street Bridge.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Sell them at the Clark Street Bridge for 50 cents or up to a dollar.
50 cents.
Hermann Schunemann, the captain, was known as Captain Santa.
And that's cool.
And the trees were left over, he would give away to poorer families that couldn't afford 50 cents or a dollar.
That's cool.
And that was an average
giving
wage back
pretty
then.
Important.
If you made a dollar an hour 100 years ago, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, in November of 1912, they were coming back from Manistique, Michigan, northern Michigan, and they hit a bad storm. They had their usual cargo of 5,500 trees or so, and the storms just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And around Two Rivers, Wisconsin, which is a little bit north of Manitowoc, they just hit a terrible storm. Additional ice, which froze on the trees, thus making them heavier. And the boat sank off of Two Rivers, Wisconsin, November 25th of that year.
Wow.
So they were about halfway here, and that was the last of it. The Christmas tree shipping business by boat ended around 1920.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Montgomery Ward, another one here, was one of the giants of Chicago's retail industry. You actually can still shop at Montgomery Ward at wards.com. Yep. I didn't know it was still out there, but it is out there. In 1930s, the company expanded beyond its initial mail order business. A copywriter named Robert L. May was commissioned to create a new children's book.
You took my story.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's Rudolph. He created Rudolph.
That's
But instead of buying a character, they decided to kind of create their own. Yeah. And I have a friend of mine that collects, like, Rudolph stuff since the beginning of time. And the funny thing about that is, after Rudolph became popular, Montgomery Ward gave the rights back to Robert L. May and their family. And they own, and I think they sold it at some point, but they own the rights for it for decades.
You may be aware of this, but May said in an interview that he got the whole idea for Rudolph being an outcast because when he was a little boy, he was frail and unable to compete in sports and never chosen
to play in the games. Right?
Well, where do you hear that?
Yeah.
All the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names.
Gene Autry singing that.
But he would take his daughter to the Lincoln Park Zoo, and she loved the reindeer. And he got the idea. I said, well, if my daughter likes it, kids must in general like this.
Isn't that crazy where the inspiration comes
yeah,
from?
And Gene Autry, of course, as you mentioned, the song became a big hit. It was offered to Bing Crosby, who turned it down.
Wow, look at that. Look at that. That was like 1939 or something.
49.
We have a texter, 773, who's got a piece of history. 200-year anniversary. It's a 200th-year anniversary of the first singing of the beloved Christmas carol, Silent Night, in a chapel in Austria.
Franz Gruber.
Look at
wrote
you.
The Silent Night. He was the organist and music director of the little chapel there and wrote it for their Christmas Eve Mass.
You're amazing to me. Dave Schwann, everybody. All right, we're going to talk to the folks at Navy Pier after a look at your morning traffic. Jen? All right, it's Dave Plyron for Steve Cochran this morning. Packed with indoor family fun, Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderfest is a delightful family tradition featuring 170,000 square feet of attractions, including rides, giant slides, indoor ice skating, and holiday decor that is sure to get you into the holiday spirit. And joining us to break it all down is Lydia Jordan Parnell with Navy Pier. Good morning and Merry Christmas to you.
Good morning and Merry Christmas to you, Dave. How's it going?
It is going fabulously as the sun is rising here. You know, it's been a long time tradition, this Winter Wonderfest in Chicago.
That's true. This is our 18th year putting on the Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderfest, and you described it beautifully. You're right. It is jam-packed, filled with winter wonder fun that the whole family can enjoy.
Yeah, let's share some of the activities that families can look forward to when they get to Navy Pier.
Sure. As you said, we've got dozens of rides and attractions, indoor ice skating. There are nearly 500 decorated trees, 25,000 ornaments, more twinkling lights than I can count. And this year, every ticket purchase will get you a ride on the Centennial Wheel, which some people don't know
is a
year-round attraction, which with enclosed heated gondolas. So there's that. And also this year, there are biweekly performances with visions of sugar plums dancing overhead. We have talented aerialists that will perform a set on Tuesdays and Sundays. And so that's something that people can enjoy as well.
There's something really cute. You got these hot cocoa cups. So these are like the teacups or the snowballs over at Santa's Village. I mean, this is kind of a legendary ride for a lot of families. That's kind of cool.
That's very true. And bumper cars and inflatables. It's really a blast.
And a carousel, you got an ice skating rink in there, which is nice because there's a lot of outdoor ice skating rinks. But if you want to do it inside, that is also a lot of fun. You can buy tickets in advance to avoid the lines. What are the prices and what do they do to get them?
So prices do vary day to day, but check out our website at NavyPier.org for information on pricing. And the fest runs through January 6th.
Okay. And parking can be a challenge, I know, for some of these events as well. What do you recommend?
Check out our website. We have on-site parking. There's off-site parking. There are a lot of ways to get to the pier, so you can plan your trip there.
Okay. And most of these rides, I mean, I'm looking at some of these, too. Most of these rides, I mean, what is the typical age for the some of these rides? Is it 3 years old, 5 years old?
Sure. Well, we have set prices for general admission, but also some tickets for the younger set, because some of the rides do have height restrictions. So I just check out online in advance so you can plan accordingly. But there's some fun things for the little ones, the Jingle Gym Jr., which has a lot of fun activities for younger kids, and then something for the older kids as well.
And it's open today, closed tomorrow, but also open on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and right through holiday break on January 6th, right?
That is correct. And also open through January 6th, if you're going to come out here, is Passage, which is our new free public art installation. It's this gorgeous piece that's 20 rings of light assembled along our south dock that guests can walk through. And it's like a musical, visual, playful, sensory experience.
And there's plenty of dining options on the pier as well. So, I mean, you really can make this a nice afternoon or a nice day for yourself.
You know, there certainly are, and New Year's Eve is right around the corner, and a lot of our partner restaurants are offering some fun ways to ring in the new year, including our big end-of-the-year bashes at the A.N. Grand Ballroom in the Crystal Gardens. And then, also, to keep on the top of your mind is, in January, we're going to be hosting the Beach Chicago. We're going to be filling the A.N. Grand Ballroom with these translucent, balls. It's going to essentially turn the space into this ball pit. And it is a art installation that comes to us from Snarkitecture. We're really excited about it. That's going to be a fun one to catch.
Very cool. And for more information on Winter Wonderfest and all the things happening this winter when you're kind of cooped up inside and want to do something fun, simply visit NavyPier.org. Lydia, thanks for joining us this morning. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas to you.
All right. Top stories are next on 720 WGN. That was the beloved WGN TV holiday classic Susie Snowflake, which is celebrating its 65th anniversary this year on Chicago television. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran this morning. So we hold this tradition near and dear to our hearts. You recognize these songs, Dave, and a Dave Schwann, right?
Sure.
Classics.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was featured starting in 1953 on WBBM, when that's when Garfield Goose was on WBBM before Channel 9. And like Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Susie was brought to life by the stop-motion animators. That's kind of a precursor to all that Rankin and Bass, the Rudolphs and stuff that were done in the 60s and 70s. It was pretty rude. I mean, if you see the, you'll see the strings hanging in the set and so forth. The woman who sang Susie Snowflake, you know who that is? Anyone?
No.
Dave Schwani?
We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Norma Zimmer.
That's right.
Who was Lawrence Welk's champagne lady, I guess, for decades. And she was part of the Norman Luboff Choir, and she used to do background singing for Frank Sinatra and for Harry Belafonte.
Norman Luboff was the group that did The Little Drummer Boy,
that's
classic
right.
version.
The original one. That's right. Probably the most popular. So this was on Garfield Goose. This is Fraser Thomas who brought these shorts in to the show. And it was Frosty the Snowman that he also brought
that
in.
That was my personal favorite. I just liked
Frosty?
It. It had such energy to it.
Yeah, that was a different type of animation that was done. Yeah. It was frame by frame, so it was not so smooth as you would see in normal days.
It jumped around a bit.
But the most popular one was Hard Rock Coco and Joe. It premiered in 1956 on WGN television. And by the way, it aired on Garfield Goose, then it aired on Bozo Circus. I remember being on WGN Morning News back in the early 2000s, and callers would call in and ask for it to be played because they remember it being played in that time slot.
I would imagine Ray Rayner show.
He did not.
He didn't at all?
No. It was Garfield Goose.
Just Garfield Goose.
Yeah, and okay. Bozo and all that other good stuff. But the most popular one is Hard Rock Coco and Joe. It was at 2 feet high, Hard Rock drove Santa's sleigh while Coco navigated and Joe tagged along the way. It was called the Song Cartoonette. It was established and created by Hua Ming Chang, who was a sculptor for Walt Disney's special effects department, and he actually created the model for Pinocchio when Pinocchio premiered back in the 1930s. He was in and George Pal, who was a producer and Academy Award nominee. Let's take a listen to a little bit of Hard Rock Coco and Joe.
Oh, lady, I know that's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
Now listen, my children, and you shall hear a story fantastic, a story so queer. It's all about Santa and his helpers three. There's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
Now Hard Rock's the driver up there by his sleigh. Coco reads maps and he shows him the way. Though old Santa really has no need for Joe, but takes him cause he loves him so. Oh, lady, aye, Donner and Blitzen, away, away. Oh, lady,
I'm Hard Rock.
I'm Coco.
I'm Joe.
So these holiday classics have also been digitally remastered. We did them years ago, and the DVDs are available for purchase from the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It's Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, Susie, Snowflake, Frosty the Snowman, and also Peter Cottontail, and you can get those at museum.tv. All right, it's the 35th anniversary of Holiday Movie, A Christmas Story, and the star of the movie, Peter Billingsley, joins us now next after a look at your morning traffic. Jen?
Ho, 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 ho. And what's your name, little boy?
Hey, kid, hurry up. The store's closing.
Come on.
Listen, little boy, we've got a lot of people waiting here, so get going.
What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it, blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice football? 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 What's a football?
Without conscious will, my voice squeaked out.
Football. Okay, get him out of here.
A football? Oh, no! Okay, what was I doing? Wake up, stupid! Wake up! No!
No, no, I want an official red under carbonation. Do you want to get rid of my lead rifle?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
All right, it's Dave Flyer for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. The classic holiday film, A Christmas Story, turns 35 this year. The star of the movie is actor and now director and producer Peter Billingsley, and he joins us on this Christmassy morning. Peter, it's been a while. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you too, Dave.
So this year marks the 35th anniversary of A Christmas Story. It wasn't your first role, as you started doing commercials at a very young age.
Well, I started at 2 and a half doing commercials, and so I was really raised in the business. My family was not in the business at all. It was just kind of a fluke, very different in the 70s, not the big kind of Disney Nickelodeon businesses that you can do with kids. It was more something to do for fun, to do commercials and some child work, and I guess I just was very lucky. I guess I had an aptitude for it. So
some. You did 120 commercial. I mean, you were all over the place by the time.
Of commercials.
Yeah.
Yep. And lots of films and TV, and then obviously Christmas Story was a big thing that kind of put me, at least sort of put my face out there publicly. But I, having grown up on sets, I was just always curious from the process. It's an environment I was always very comfortable in, so I would ask a lot of questions and always had a desire to probably want to do more than just the work in front of the camera, even though, you know, I loved it and had a great experience and had great parents. I didn't have that
right
kind of, you know, child star journey that a lot of them have where it was a struggle. And so for me, the business was always something that I was curious about and wanted more. And actually, a terrific mentor was Bob Clark, who directed A Christmas Story.
Right.
It was very helpful to me as I was sort of wanting to get behind the camera and, you know, in my late teens and early 20s and encouraged me to move through post-production and really learn the business, which I did from the other side, and then started working. And then, you know, as Vince is working and we wanted to do things together, form that partnership as well.
Yeah, that's very cool. I was born in 67, so long before Christmas Story, I remember you in the Hershey's commercials. Messy Marvin, I think.
Oh, the Messy Marvin commercials, yeah.
Yeah, you were. It was almost like a character in and of itself. You mentioned Bob Clark and what a mentor he was for you over the years. When you turned 12, you went on an audition for him for the role of Ralphie in A Christmas Carol, which again, celebrating 35 years this year. You were the first actor he saw, but you got a call back some months later. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's what I had heard, that that he had seen me first, because they set up these, you know, these auditions, and the director just wants to see people in the casting. I think I was literally the first person he saw, and he thought, wow, this, yeah, I like this guy, but obviously I'm not hiring the first person.
Right.
So he went on his journey, had remembered me, and then, you know, they do that sort of stressful process of mixing and matching and pairing through sort of screen testing different chemistries of people and friends and all that stuff, and you all read different roles, and then he settled on me for the role.
I mean, an iconic movie, obviously, and you know, I'm mentioning this because it's 35 years this year, which is incredible to me, but it took 10 years for Gene Shepard, I know, to get this movie made, and he was on set quite a bit, but eventually was asked to leave because he was telling the actors how to play the scenes, and I don't think Bob Clark liked that much.
It was, I mean, it was, I think, all done somewhat in love, but they would certainly, you know, argue about things, because Gene would pull me aside and say, no, say it like this, because he had written the book. You know, A Christmas Story is based on, Gene's a prolific writer, radio personality for years. And really, A Christmas Story is one short story of a series of short stories, and each short story in his book was, one was the turkey, one was the bunny suit, one was the gun, and they kind of put them all together and had The Pursuit of the BB Gun as the A story, so to speak, that moved through.
Yeah.
But really, it was a collection of stories of him growing up in the Midwest as he remembered it. And just, you know, he was sort of a Garrison Keillor of his day, I guess you could say, and just the way he saw and described things. So these two, Bob and Gene, had been working for so long to get the movie made, and they had to make a lot of sacrifices to do it, and it was a small budget. So by the time they were there was a lot of passion on the set that you could feel, and pretty strong opinions. So Bob would often say, Gene, get away from my actors. And then he'd say to me, you know, what do you say to you? Don't listen to him. We're going to do it this way.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was fun, but it was all, I think, in really a quest to try to do something that they saw that nobody else did, because, you know, this is not an easy movie to get made. I don't think it was, you know, it's not some high concept Hollywood movie. It was a period piece in the 40s with a narrator that had really never been done like that.
Well, I was going to say, like, and you as a producer.
To get a BB gun for Christmas.
Yeah.
It was just I mean, sadly, I can tell you honestly, probably if I read it, I'd think, oh my gosh, no one's going to go see this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably pass.
Yeah.
Foolishly.
Yeah.
Because you just don't see it. So, and everyone had. And I think Bob had to, you know, agree to direct some more commercial horror movie for the studio to do it. So it's a real testament to their kind of vision and drive behind the movie to take that long and to be that steadfast in what they wanted to do with it. And, you know, Bob was so well prepared. It was a great experience for me to see, because I had done a lot of other movies, big movies, movie with Burt Reynolds called Paternity.
Right. Right.
Big budget movies that had flopped that no one's ever heard of. And, you know, they were all supposed to be, hey, kid, this is the one for you. They're going to launch you. And, you know, that's not why we were doing it, but still there was all this hype. And the nice thing about A Christmas Story, it was sort of your, I say, like, you know, everyone was taking their lunch pail to work kind of movie. It was put your head down and get it done. There was no awareness, no hype. I don't really remember people from the studio coming to visit the set. It was just this very off-the-radar project, and they did an amazing job with it, obviously.
Well, it's the 35th anniversary of A Christmas Story, and we're talking to Peter Billingsley, who starred as Ralphie. And there's more when we come back on 720 WGN.
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb. That scar should know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like double dog dare ya.
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare ya.
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right.
State player in for Steve Cochran on this Christmas Eve morning, and we are talking about the 35th anniversary of A Christmas Story with the star of the movie, Peter Billingsley. Peter, it's amazing to me, after all these years and seeing it in the theater when I was just a kid myself, that this movie is now regarded as a holiday classic in the same category as It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, and A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I know, in 35 years, still playing on the marathon, and I'd read that it's still one of their highest rated programs for the year on TNT and TBS. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's something else, and you know, I've been fortunate to work on a lot of these, and you really don't know the ones that are going to kind of culturally cut out. You try your best, you try to hit on those chords, but certainly, you know, there was lightning caught in a bottle here, and it's nice. We're going to do a screening at the Academy of Motion Pictures this year.
Oh, that's great.
Which I don't do a whole lot of stuff sort of around the film, just...
Better done that, yeah.
Because it's great and it's past, and just kind of, yeah, there's just lots of other stuff to kind of talk about and to move on to, but it's being the 35th anniversary, we're doing a big screening for the Academy members and then a Q&A afterwards as well.
Only one story makes the holiday shine.
That star is Crooked.
A classic tradition that's one of a kind. A Christmas Story.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
It celebrates the spirit of giving.
Wow.
And songs to be singing.
Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Of lights big and bright.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
And little ones, naughty and nice. A yearly tradition.
I triple dog dare you.
Stuffed with delicious new treats.
A little bribe never hurts.
That make the holidays complete. So run, don't delay. Get your favorite holiday movie today.
Ow. No, no, I want an official red under carbonation. Do you want to check with my laser rifle?
Just be ready to shout.
You'll shoot your eye out. Ho, ho, ho.
No!
A Christmas Story.
That's very cool. You filmed most of that movie on a soundstage. Many scenes were also filmed in Cleveland and in Toronto, even though it took place in Indiana. But you were 12. I mean, you've got to have great memories of just kind of getting through the process. And I know you got to chew some tobacco. You got to say the F word. Pretty good for a 12-year-old, you know, kid for the movies.
Not too bad, yeah. It was, again, you know, we talked about the 70s, and this was done in 83. It's still a different time, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't as worried about what the exposure to a kid was, for better or worse. but the scene where I was doing the chewing tobacco, and just had to spit, for whatever reason, they gave me Red Man, which I didn't know any better. I put in my mouth and started doing the scene, then I got really dizzy, started sweating and throwing up.
Oh, God.
So we stopped production for an hour. Director was furious. Bob was furious. He's like, who the hell gave him Red Man? and I think someone was like, oh, no, the scene called for chewing tobacco. I was like, he's 12.
Yeah.
So they ground up raisins and mushed them together and put it in my mouth, and then we continued.
That would have probably been a better first choice. Yeah.
Well, you think maybe you start there. Yeah,
yeah, right.
And then let the director say it doesn't look real enough, but
yeah.
I was starting at Red Man. But again, it was a very different time.
That's awesome. I know the house is actually a museum now. It was kind of a shell when you were shooting scenes outside of it, but now it's become this museum where they've actually almost like recreated the actual set inside the house, which is pretty crazy in Cleveland.
Yeah, I haven't been to see it. I've heard that they've turned it into a museum, and it's quite a popular landmark there. And I think the city's very supportive of it as well. So that's nice. It was, you know, it's nice to take something that really wasn't being used and give fans a chance to go and experience that. And I think some of the cast members pop through there on occasion so they can meet them and sign autographs and so forth.
That's cool. There's so many iconic props from the movie that are must-haves for fans, like the Red Ryder BB gun, the leg lamp. But is it true that you still own the pink bunny suit and the original BB gun and the glasses?
I do. Well, the glasses were real. I've always been pretty blind. So, all those glasses growing up were 100% real. And, but I do have the original bunny suit. I don't have the original leg lamp. I think Gene had one, and I forget who has the other one. But there might only be one left, like real one from the set.
Wow.
Because we destroyed most of them.
Yeah.
But I do have the original bunny suit and an original gun from the film.
That's crazy. And there's even a bronze statue of the famous flagpole scene at the Indiana Welcome Center in Hammond, Indiana, where it was supposed to be.
Oh, is there? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. Gene Shepard's hometown. Well, we are talking to Peter Billingsley, Ralphie in A Christmas Story, on its 35th anniversary, and we'll talk about what he's up to these days after a look at your morning traffic.
And we got it! There we go.
Oh, for one brief moment, I saw all the bolts silhouetted against the lights of the traffic, and then they were gone.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word, the big one, the queen mother of dirty words, the F. Dash, dash, dash word.
What did you say? That's what I thought you said. In the car. Go on.
It was all over. I was dead. What would it be? The guillotine, hanging, the chair, the rack, the Chinese water torture? Mere child's play compared to what surely awaited me.
Dave Flyer and for Steve, Merry Christmas Eve to all of you. And we are talking to actor, director, and producer Peter Billingsley of A Christmas Story on its 35th anniversary. So you've been producing, Peter, and directing for decades, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But one of your latest projects is the third season of a very funny animated comedy on Netflix called F is for Family. Funny, funny show in an over-the-top kind of way.
Yeah, thanks. It's, you know, stems a lot from, I think, inspired by Bill Burr's comedy. And also, I think, the way so many of us were raised in the 1970s. And it's just so different. And, you know, we always say it's sort of a time when you could smoke inside, smack your kid, and take a gun to the airport. So times were very different.
It's
a fun look back, but the commonality and was still family and love and, you know, trying to do your best. But, you know, we all remember who grew up then that, you know, you were sent out and just told, come home when the streetlights are on.
That's right.
There were no phones. They couldn't get a hold of you, your parents, but you were expected. You know, you formed friendships. You kind of had your boundaries in your neighborhood, and you did what you had to do literally to survive. You know, there were no car seats.
No.
Things were just very different. So we had a lot of fun at looking back at that. But I think by the same token, it's still it's just sort of a show about family and, you know, everyone's struggles and wants and needs. And those are kind of timeless. I think those have been going on for a very long time.
We grew up with shows like The Brady Bunch and Happy Days. And you know, although they were funny, they were very saccharine. And we knew what we were growing up with in our own homes. And I think this truly reflects that. And when I was watching the trailer for the new season, my 13-year-old daughter, unbeknownst to me, was kind of looking over my shoulder and then started and started laughing. And, you know, kids see animation. Oh, it's got to be for them. This one really is not.
No, this is an R-rated show for sure. So let's just make sure that audiences know that.
Yeah.
Hey, however people want to parent, what they want to let their kids watch is entirely up to them. But it is definitely an R-rated show with a lot of F-bombs and other things. It's a very loud, profane family, I think, and how they communicate. But again, what I like about it at the core, it's still like any other sort of regular family. You know, and you mentioned Christmas Story, which obviously I did. That movie takes place in the 40s, post-Depression. And, you know, it's sustained a long run of obviously people returning to it and watching it. And it's a similar kind of thing, you know. Obviously, we didn't grow up in the 40s, but it's a relatable family. You can relate to, you know, the grumbling of the father and the struggles of the mom in the household, the brothers fighting, the wants and desires of that incredible Christmas gift, whatever that might be, it's a familiar family. And I think that's why it continues to sustain. And it's also not the Saccharin family.
No,
you know, it's kind of a rough, it's a bit of a rough around the edges. But truthfully, I think it's a real family. And people can relate to it, even though it's set in obviously a very different time period. The kind of landmarks and the pillars within that household are really not that different today.
No, not at all. Not at all. The dad, Frank, swears a lot, as you said. And I was watching just one of the pieces from the preview, and he was opening up to his son. And it's this kind of,
yes,
you know, dramatic moment where you're kind of like, oh, man, you know, this is okay, cool. And then he looks over, his son's asleep, and then just starts ripping into him right away. And that is kind of the tone of the show, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, like... He's definitely a male character who struggles with opening up. And so when he finally does, you know, kind of get the courage and feel safe enough to open up, and then is disrespected by somebody falling asleep.
Yeah.
Through it,
yeah.
It just instantly triggers anger. And yeah. I think that's one of the things about Frank, who's played by Bill Burr, is, you know, he's always one step away from anger. But by the same token, really loves his kids,
yeah,
despite threatening physical violence to them often.
Yeah, exactly.
But he doesn't do it, you know.
No.
It's,
no.
It's
talk.
It's not an empty threat, but it's a lot of talk.
It is.
I think that's exactly right.
You've got some big names behind some of the other characters as well, the voices.
Yeah, we were, you know, really blessed to have a pretty incredible cast on this show, which had a very serendipitous run at the award season last year. So also on our show with Bill Burr is Sam Rockwell,
right,
who won an Oscar last year, Laura Dern, who won an Emmy, I believe, and a Globe.
Yeah.
And Alex Janney as well.
I know.
Who won the Iron. So we you know, we sort of joke internally that if you want to get an award, come to a voice on our show, and it will be the path towards an incredible award season, which I don't think is true, but it's sort of nice to think.
Yeah, absolutely. And The Simpsons' Michael Price, of course, is the other creator of the series, which brings on a lot of that funny as well. And now you're producing this show and many others, and I want to catch people up a little bit if they didn't know this, but it's with your pal and your business partner, Vince Vaughn at Wild West Productions, and you two met on the set of an after-school special that you were both in, right?
Yes. That's in like 1989.
Wow.
It was an after-school special that tackled the issue of steroids. And I played the kid on steroids, believe
wow.
it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, so we just sort of rolled up the sleeves of my T-shirt to make me look like I was on steroids, and then rolled it down when I was not on steroids.
Nice.
It was dramatic. Oddly effective. Yeah, and we added a couple of pimples, and we sort of sold it. So we did meet on that. We became good friends and have known each other since, and, you know, started working together quite a while ago. And it was fun. You know, Vince has been a terrific friend and a great supporter of my career. And he was really just obviously starting his career, sort of getting any part that he could, and had recently moved to LA, and after school specials were
that was it.
Part of the circuit of young actors getting parts to come up. Sadly, they're gone now, because I thought they were kind of cool, and we all remember, you know, rushing home to watch them at 3:30 right after school, you know, and get caught up on, you know, the important issues of being a teen.
Well, and not to mention being a producer on the big screen in movies like Iron Man and countless TV shows, and now F is for Family on Netflix. And you can catch A Christmas Story in a marathon on cable station TBS starting today through Christmas Day. Peter, very cool to talk to you again, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thanks, Dave. Merry Christmas to you, too.
All right. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.
It's Emma Plyer along with my brother Josh, my other brother Alex, my dad Dave Plyer, as well as Dave Schwann and Dave Ennett on 720 WGN. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, Emma. Yeah, everybody's here in studio
God, she's
today.
Good.
She's doing okay.
She's doing so good.
She's doing those reads pretty well. So my son, Josh, good morning and Merry Christmas to you.
Good morning, Merry Christmas.
And Alex is also here. Merry Christmas, Alex.
Good morning, Dad.
Oh, gosh, he's about pulled his neck out of his socket. Oh. Okay, so the family's all here this morning. They're going to be hanging out for the last couple of hours. Did you see how she picked his neck up and put it toward the microphone? Isn't that touching? It's so nice. Merry Christmas, everyone. All right, so Emma,
He's got three pens going at the same time.
Yeah,
here.
So she's coloring at the studio desk here.
We've got a Picasso in the making.
I think so. Emma, you probably need to do a shout out. I don't know how your grades are this year, but you want to do a shout out to one of your teachers, one of your favorite teachers.
Hi, Mrs. Bolt.
Mrs. Bolt. Yeah, she's one of your favorites, right? She's
Merry
listening.
Christmas.
She's tuning in. Merry Christmas. Alex, you want to say anything to anybody? Say hello to everybody. Merry Christmas. Your mom, your girlfriend.
Yeah.
No. You're good? Okay. Maybe we could do something later then. That's fine. Josh, anything for you?
Hello, Susanna. Hello, Brandon, Vin, Joe, Adele, Brooke.
Okay.
Nola, Michelle, etc.
We're really lowering the demographic on this radio station today if they're all listening. That's a good thing.
Sorry.
No, it's a good thing. We'll take that anytime. All right, here's what's coming up. In fact, he's sitting right next to me, is Elliot Bamber from Chicago's Best. What's going on, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
I am
Merry
fantastic.
Christmas.
He's got his elf hat on. That is like a tradition for Dave Ennett here. He watches it every Christmas Eve.
We do.
Night.
We'll be watching it tonight.
Did you see my T-shirt? My personally made T-shirt?
Yeah, let me see what it is.
It's my face on the dead guy from
Die Hard.
And it says, Happy Holidays, Nakatomi Christmas Party, 1988.
It's funny you say that because I was looking at the top 10, what magazines ranked top 10 Christmas movies. And you got the It's a Wonderful Life and Miracle on 34th Street and all those others. And Die Hard is always in the top 10.
Because it's the best damn Christmas movie ever made. That's why.
That's right. And we'll talk about that in the next half hour or so. So Elliot Bamber coming up. Also, Johnny Mathis at 8:30 and Cardinal Blaise Supich joining us live in studio at 9 o'clock.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran this morning. Our buddy Dean Richards is jam-packed on the WGN Morning News this morning, so hanging out with us. First are my three kids, our 17-year-old son, Josh. Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Our daughter, Emma, who's been hanging out with us all morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
And our little guy, Alex. Alex, good morning and Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Dad.
Good morning, buddy. Is he up yet? I don't think he's up yet.
No, not quite.
Not quite yet. Are all of you ready for Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Alex, do you have one more gift to wrap, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. What kind of wrapping paper are you going to use?
No.
You don't know yet? Okay. We'll figure it out, I guess. And joining us in studio, my pal who joins me on my show all the time, is Elliot Bamber from WGN TV Chicago's Best. What's going on, buddy?
Not a lot. How you doing?
Not a lot.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to my favorite teacher, Mrs. Bolt.
Well, your favorite teacher, too.
Well, sure. I mean, I just thought I'd join in. It's been a while since I was in school, so I just thought I'd join on the Mrs. Bolt train.
Emma's grades better be killer this
That'll
time
be on
around.
Mrs. Bolt. That's not on Emma. If she's listening, that's her job
that
to
is
get
her
Emma's
job,
grades up.
It? Don't you
yes.
think? Yes, it is.
Yeah, damn right.
Emma knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She knows what she's doing here. What are you doing on Christmas Day?
Christmas Day, doing a bunch of like traditional stuff. Stuff. But today is my wedding
today
anniversary.
The big day. Oh, happy anniversary
Thank
to you.
You.
Look at you.
Yeah.
That's cool. What a great time to.
Not really.
No.
No.
Do people
what
forget?
It's not that. It's just we can't do anything.
Yeah,
anniversary
because you're with
romantic.
Family and
yeah,
stuff.
It's,
yeah.
It was on the day it was like the best idea. It was so romantic and
it
kind
is.
Of fun and cool. And
yeah.
then 11 years later it's like gift wrapping, last minute shopping. I actually tried to marry the judge.
Where did you get married?
We ran off to City Hall.
Oh, here in Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it was super fun. And I was very nervous, obviously. And
yeah.
And I read my lines back to the judge.
Nice.
Yeah, and he was like, you're not marrying me, you're marrying your wife.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Well, we brought a pie in for your wedding anniversary here. It's from Bang Bang Pie.
A half-eaten pie.
Yeah, well, we just
that's
got started.
That's how you feel about me.
We just got it started.
All right.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, Dave had it. Dave doesn't... I'm really flattered because Dave Ennett never eats anything in the studio. He's in such great shape, but he had a little bit today.
And this place is like a constant. It's a 24-hour buffet, Elliot. I mean,
it is.
Food in here every
night. I need to hang out in here more often then.
Uncle Dean used to tell me, don't bring food into the studio. And I agree with him, but we do have a little pie in here today. It's Christmas.
It's good.
It's very good. It's very good. See, there's some. He's eating some right
yeah,
now. Did
I
you
am.
Catch that? Yeah.
Everyone's got the Christmas spirit.
I think
it's
so.
It's a beautiful thing.
I think so. It is a tradition for people, and we're going to get to Chicago's Best for the year so far, but it is a tradition for people just as much as going to someone's house for the holidays is to going out for dinner.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for a lot of folks.
I think, you know, we're actually going out with some friends this year for Christmas dinner as well. There's something to be said for not having to go and buy a bunch of food, prep and cook for 6-12 hours, everyone eat for 3 minutes, and then clear up for the next 3 days.
Am I right? It is stressful.
It sucks.
Especially when you're hosting, it can be a little stressful.
Yeah. Yeah. I love cooking. Yeah. Cooking's like one of my therapeutic
yeah.
kind of times to
yeah.
myself to yeah. just have some fun. But even for me, you know, sometimes it gets too much. It's like, you know, let's just go out this year.
We're cooking tomorrow. We're at the in-laws tonight. Sometimes we go out on Christmas Eve for dinner. We've been doing that the last few years, but I think we're just going to go to the in-laws tonight. But tonight's a lot easier to get reservations someplace and go out to dinner. It's tomorrow that's a little more limited.
Right.
And I was looking at some of the places. Have you been to Logman and Eagle?
I have.
In Logan Square.
Yeah, so that place is great.
Hipsters, good whiskey there too.
Sure, but you guys can't get in unless you draw handlebar mustaches on yourselves. And skinny jeans for you, Dave.
Chicken it. I'm wearing skinny jeans right now.
Well, you need an ironic t-shirt as well. You're not wearing an ironic t-shirt.
Bloody Marys and chicken and waffles, but that's tomorrow. So is Chicago's Pizza in Lakeview. I don't think I've been to that one.
I don't.
Chicago's Pizza? Mm-mm. Phoenix in Chinatown?
No.
It's kind of a Christmas story thing. That you go get Chinese on Christmas Day, right?
Well, I mean,
get some goose.
There's a lot of the Chinese places are open. There's a bunch of restaurants open, right?
Mm-hmm. A Michael Jordan Steakhouse is another one. So that's the one over in the Intercontinental on Michigan Avenue.
Okay,
so they're open on Christmas Day. Booth One, which is in the Ambassador Hotel, I think. That's the Let Us Entertain You restaurant,
right,
in the Gold Coast over there. I know I'm reading stuff. You're like, yeah, okay. Cafe Roby, in Wicker Park.
Yeah,
you know Cafe Roby. Okay. Here's the big Fogo de Chao, Baptiste and Bottle is open. Francesca's is open, so that's another nice place to do that. But here's the national ones that are open. Denny's, you can go get a nice Christmas dinner at Denny's.
Merry Christmas, fam. get the jackets on, kids. We're going to Denny's.
Dave was just waiting in line. He was kind enough to bring donuts and tea and coffee for the kids. And, you know, you're in a rush when you're in between newscasts.
I thought it's Christmas Eve day. I didn't think many people would be down in the Pedway.
Yeah. And he goes in line, and there's someone buying a gift basket at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, it was a beautiful basket. I mean, it looked great.
That's just a new one for me, a gift basket from Dunkin' Donuts. I've never...
For somebody you really don't enjoy.
Like. Yeah. That's the spending Christmas with people you don't like. I got you what you've always never asked for.
Yeah, exactly.
Gift basket from Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, that is the last minute gift of all gifts, isn't it?
I think so.
We did one year. We realized that we didn't shop for an entire family. Like, there was just one family we left out, and then we were in Walgreens shopping and wrapping gifts on our laps in the car. It was terrible.
That's, again, here's a hairbrush. Here's People magazine.
Here's some British sterling.
Right.
Beautiful. What?
Q-tips.
Yeah,
Q-tips would be nice. Yeah.
Here's a Chicago t-shirt.
The Waffle House is open.
Nice.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Well, you would expect that, right? Baker Square. IHOP.
Okay.
Open. Starbucks. I thought Starbucks were open.
I thought they were IHOB now. I thought that was the International House of Burgers.
No, that was just a bunch of BS.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a marketing ploy. Did you not know that, Emma?
No.
Well, I fell for that marketing ploy, clearly.
Everybody did.
Okay.
I thought it was real.
No. It was just a little ploy to say we're selling burgers now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, got the word out.
But it did. It ticked off a lot of people, but everyone's talking about it. So that is successful.
That's good marketing right there.
Right. McDonald's.
Thank goodness.
Yum.
Panda Express. Oh, God.
Real authentic Chinese, then.
Buca di Beppo, Old Country Buffet. Okay, Ruth Chris's. Okay, Ruth Chris's better. All right, Smith and Walensky. Okay, here's the one that I don't get. Chuck E. Cheese. That's like your own personal Christmas hell, going to Chuck E. Cheese on Christmas
on
Day.
On Christmas?
Again, here's what you do. Here's what you get for the family or friends you don't like. You get them the gift basket from Dunkin' Donuts, then you give them the gift card to Chuck E. Cheese, and take them there in the evening and say, like, have at it.
Yeah.
That's a fun... Should we do a tour of all these places?
Yeah, we probably should.
Let's do a restaurant crawl.
But then I would go back to Longman and Eagle in Logan Square and go get some whiskey if I had to go through all that crap all
You don't
day.
Have the right t-shirt.
I don't have the right t-shirt.
No. You don't have a Ramones t-shirt on.
B-dubs, as my son calls it.
Oh, not,
Buffalo
yeah.
Wild Wings.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're open.
Okay.
Store hours might vary. But you can get a nice little Christmas wing basket.
Is this Christmas or Christmas Eve?
No, it's Christmas Day. Christmas Eve, pretty much everything's open.
Yeah.
But the only thing about B-dubs is it's based so much on games being on and being able to watch games.
There are
NBA games tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, so. I guess so. But you're right. It's all surrounding sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right, it's 8:18. How about a quick look at your morning traffic?
Can't
but
stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you
dropping. So very nice.
I'll hold your hands
they're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful. State player and Elliot Bamber from WGN TV, Chicago's Best in Studio. Baby, it's cold outside.
Are you telling me that?
I'll play
right,
that.
Baby.
If I have to hear one more controversial comment about a Christmas song, a Christmas movie, or a Christmas cartoon, I might lose it right here.
You know what? Everything's free game for me except for Die Hard. You can say what you like about any movie, any song, but leave Die Hard alone.
Okay, since this controversy broke about Baby, It's Cold Outside, it has soared up the digital sales charts with sales increasing 70% in the latest tallying, putting the Dean Martin hit in the top 10 of digital song sales this week.
Look at that.
See?
Good marketing again. Instead of the same people behind the IHOP.
It is good marketing.
Yeah.
So the Dean Martin version?
The Dean Martin version.
Is the one that tops the charts.
Yes.
And that's with Martina McBride, right?
Yes.
Because we played that the other day.
Yeah.
But they were dubbed in, I think.
That's right. They did a little duet together there. Yeah. But the original Dean Martin is in the top 10. Because people are like, I don't want to hear this. Who wants to hear all this about, Rudolph this and that? Come on. It's Christmas.
What did Rudolph do now?
I don't know. I just hate all this crap. All right.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. On WGN TV, Chicago's Best. First of all, last night you had a show on that was so cool. And I know you can get it at Chicago's Best TV. .com, right? Is you did Chicago's Best Firehouses. Because
yes,
these
did.
Guys are gourmet chefs. And just seeing them with their little special dishes and stuff, that was very cool. It was a really
Thank
great
you.
Idea.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. And we, you know, every once a year around this time, around the holidays, we do a giving back special, something to focus on, something a little bit different than just restaurants. And this year, we did firehouses, and we cooked with the cooks there at the firehouse,
cool.
And we broke bread with them. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it's nice to shed a spotlight on some, you know, some great people, some very brave people in our city, you know, the servicemen and women in the city.
I love the show.
Thank you.
And you guys you always feature good neighborhood places that I think, and I always say this to you, that I don't think people would have discovered unless you would have thrown it up there. People are often shy to try new places, mm-hmm. especially when they come down to the city, and I think that kind of opens up the door. You got a great app and all that stuff.
Right.
What are your top, the Chicago's Best of 2018?
The best of the best of 2018.
The best of the best. What are your top, like, three?
It's my top three. One definitely would be the burger at Owen and Engine. Mm. Which is an incredible thing of beauty.
Okay.
It's
what makes it so incredible?
That it's a blend of chuck and short rib and brisket.
Ooh, the brisket does it probably.
Yeah.
Nice flavor,
it's like 24-day aged meat as well.
Wow.
She grinds it and packs it herself, and it's the house-made bun. I mean, there's just something about the I think for me it's my favorite burger in the whole of Chicago.
Okay.
It's incredible. Top three, you're really pushing me here.
Yeah.
I've eaten at like 3 billion restaurants this year. I really love husband and wife team out in Palatine. There's a place called Chicago Culinary Kitchen. It's a barbecue spot, and they do some insane barbecue, but they also have an incredible Illinois-focused craft beer selection.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, so they do a really fun beer and barbecue pairing evening where you do like
okay.
a 8-course meal with different beer for a different protein.
Culinary Kitchen, so do they teach? Do they do anything?
They do classes and stuff.
They do.
That makes sense to me. But it's also just a restaurant too.
Yeah.
But Chicago Culinary Kitchen, it's in Palatine, and it would kill it in the city if they were in the city. So Palatine's very lucky to have them. That place is incredible.
Cool. One
just,
more.
Just three? Oh my God, you're killing me.
You can throw me a couple, I guess.
I tell you what, I everyone raves about deep dish, and there's always that big deep dish debate. However, I still think one of the greatest pizzas that Chicago's ever come up with is the tavern style thin crust square cut. And we focused. We featured
square cut. Okay.
Yeah, the thin crust.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, thin crust square cut is Chicago style as much as deep dish is. And
it is.
More people would say that they eat thin crust square cut Chicago style pizza than they do deep dish. That's when your family comes into town or people visit from out of town.
Ordered and whatever.
I still like it, but you know, you can't eat more than a couple of slices. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we went to a place that's been around for around 40 years on Archer, and it's called Obbie's. OBBIE.
Okay. I feel like you've told me about this place before.
It's an incredible place, and they've been doing it the same way for the last 40 years.
Nice.
And it's just a great Chicago standard. I mean, it's it's wafer thin, as I'd say in Monty Python.
Yeah.
For Mr. Creosote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, you know, your classic Chicago topping of just sausage, and it's just a thing of beauty, and it's a testament to our wonderful food culture here.
What do you got coming up? What's on the next week's show?
We have got, I think there's another chance to get a bonus run of our firefighter special that you saw last night.
I think that's coming
back up again. We've also got an end of year award show that's being airing, and just more great stuff. We've got a spicy episode coming up soon. We've got comfort food. We got a little bit of everything.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Very cool. You can catch Elliot every Sunday at 10 on Chicago's Best on WGN TV. Merry Christmas to you and your lovely wife, Jen.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you guys, too.
Enjoy yourself.
I will do.
Any Merry Christmases for Elliot here, everybody?
Merry Christmas.
There you go, buddy.
I feel blessed. These guys are great. I first met these guys like 5 years ago.
And you did?
Yeah, when I first came on your show.
We're all going
how they've grown.
Let's go to the Waffle House after this.
Let's all go to the Waffle House.
And then we'll go to Chuck E. Cheese right after.
Jesus.
Good now Lord. We're going to have a party.
Denny's.
WGN money Denny's. Right there.
We could do that, too. All right, Johnny Math is coming up after the news next on 720 WGN.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
All right, it's Dave Flyer and for Steve Cochran this morning. Chances are you might have a classic Johnny Mathis Christmas record in your collection. For over 60 years, Johnny has entertained millions and has sold more than 360 million records nationwide, which ranks third among 20th century artists, only behind Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra. Johnny's been nominated for an Academy Award, made well over 300 television appearances, has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and boasts a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. His Merry Christmas album from 1968 has sold over 6 million records, which is one of the top Christmas albums of all time. And I don't know about you, but if I don't hear Johnny singing Winter Wonderland or Sleigh Ride, it simply isn't Christmas. And this Grammy Award-winning legend joins us this morning. Merry Christmas, Johnny.
Thank you so much. What a great introduction. Thank you.
Absolutely. Oh, man. And that was just really the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you are an amazing guy, and I am thrilled you are joining us. And as I said to you, it's just not Christmas without hearing your iconic voice.
That's a wonderful, wonderful feeling that I have at Christmas time, because I come from a large family. There are seven kids. My mom and my dad were domestic workers, so we didn't have very much money, but at Christmas time, my mom and my dad were just absolutely the most inventive people I've ever met in my life. And, of course, I was going to school and singing in choirs and things of that nature. So when I got a chance, after I had a couple of hit records for Columbia Records, to make whatever kind of music I wanted to, the first thing I thought about was making some Christmas songs for my mom and my dad. And
that's awesome.
Over the years, to have the success that I've had with this Christmas music is just a wonderful. It makes my mom and my dad never leave me, because it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing that has happened. Because when I hear this music, of course, I think about them all the time.
Well, and what's funny, really, when you listen to your album, your first album, Christmas album from 58, and you look at your recent one that you released last year, you sound the same. You sound exactly the same. That is amazing.
I've been lucky, you know. I haven't had any problems vocally. The only problems I had, you know, is just getting old. I've had a couple of hip replacements. I had a back surgery. I think a lot of that had to do with my high jumping and hurdling when I was in college.
That could be,
But the voice has held up pretty well. I had a cold once in a while, but I even timed my colds. I don't get a cold when I'm supposed to sing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good timing for you. Well, I want to first establish how you got into music. You know, you were mentioning your family. You were born in Gilmer, Texas. Big family you grew up in.
Yeah, my mom and my dad are very special people. They're in my thoughts and in my daily routine all the time. I was born in Gilmer, Texas. My mom and my dad moved the family very early on. I think I was about 4 years old when I moved to San Francisco. And my dad was a very good singer, and he played the piano a little bit by ear. He didn't wasn't trained musically, but the minute I hear myself sing, I sound exactly like my dad. My dad was a very good singer, and he was the reason that I sing to this day. Very early on, he thought that because I was always sitting by his knee and he was playing the piano and singing, and he said, son, let's find a teacher for you. And that sort of started the whole the scenario with my career. Daddy found a teacher, a vocal teacher for me when I was 12, and we worked together. My voice teacher, Connie Cox.
Connie Cox, yeah.
Wonderful lady who taught me free of charge, and I did a lot of work around her house to sort of pay for my lessons. And we worked for about 7 years, and then at the age of 19, I got my first big break for Columbia Records.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you remember the first song your father taught you? Because I know you learned all of his songs, hearing him around the house and so forth. Do you remember the first song he taught you?
Molly and me, and baby makes three, we're happy in my blue heaven.
Exactly. Yeah, that's awesome.
Dad sang that, and yeah. He had a wonderful menage of likes as far as his music was concerned. He loved Bing Crosby. He thought that he was sort of a span the generations as far as his singing was concerned. But he also liked rhythm and blues and a lot of jazz. So that's the way I grew up, was listening to all this this musical element. And I kind of have, over the years, gone through a lot of it myself.
Now, you had a choice when you were in high school. You were very, very athletic at the time. You were trained even to compete in the Olympics. You're a high jumper and so forth, as you mentioned, with the back surgery. And but, you know, you chose music instead. I mean, you definitely saw that that's something that was in your future, more than the sports.
Well, my athletic career was kind of buoyed by the fact that I went to school at the same time with Bill Russell, the great basketball player. And he and I became buddies, and I had a lot of success in my high jumping. I even broke a couple of Bill Russell's records, wow. High jump records. And during the week that I was to go to the Olympic trials at Berkeley, California, I got my first opportunity to go make my first recording. Prior to that, I had had a lot of opportunities to go on the road with different bands and what have you, but my dad wouldn't hear of it. He thought I should stay in school and wait until something a little bit more realistic came along. And so when the record contract happened, he said, well, I think this might be your best choice.
But at such a young age, I mean, you were playing in 1954, you were playing the famous Black Hawk. That is cool in and of itself. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
Well, you know, I lived in San Francisco, and I went to all the jazz clubs. I couldn't go during their working hours because they served liquor, and I was underage.
Sure.
But I went on the weekends, and I used to sit and listen to people like Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, Earl Garner, singers like Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan. All of these people came through and played this little jazz club called the Black Hawk. And the owners of the club got accustomed to seeing me on Saturday afternoons when I would go in and listen to them rehearse. And of course, they put me in the corner and didn't bother with me. But I got a chance to meet all of these extraordinary people at a very early age. And then, of course, when I started to sing, I got to meet them in a different way. I was friends, you know, with people like Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis, and everybody kept asking me, "How on earth do you know these people?" I said,
that's pretty cool. Oh, my God.
It was cool. Yeah, it was the coolest thing in the world.
We are talking to the voice of Christmas, the legendary Johnny Mathis, and there's more with Johnny after a look at your morning traffic.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful
beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in the winter wonderland.
Good morning once again. It's Day Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to music legend Johnny Mathis. So you've been with the same record label almost all of your professional life, which in this day and age is unheard of.
I think the thing that amazes me mostly about my association with Columbia Records, their hierarchy, you know, the presidents and the people in charge of all the machinations of the record company have changed. I mean, they were changing, you know, presidents from, you know, 2 years since, 3 years since, 4 years. And they're all different people. And fortunately, I, you know, have stayed in the forefront of most of the people who are responsible for the talent. And it's kind of amazing, but every year since I've been with Columbia Records, I've had some releases. I think... I'd be afraid to try to remember how many and all of the single records that I've recorded and
yeah.
all the albums and what have you.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the greatest asset that I had growing up were the people that I met in the studio and who agreed to work with me. And they are as responsible for my success as my voice is.
You're such a humble, like, you're so humble to say that, and that's wonderful that you look at that as a team. But you sold 350 million records, mostly under Columbia. You know, so you can't not love that.
Well, it's an amazing career I've had, and I kind of still feel awed by it all. But I'm still kind of eager to do things vocally. Over the years, I've met some extraordinarily gifted people. When I was very young, my voice teacher used to play me these recordings by these great opera singers and what have you. And of course, I tried a little bit of that. And I'd get to the most difficult part of the aria, and I'd have to stop because I couldn't sing the rest of it. But I learned a lot of half of arias when I was a kid. Setting voice. Over the years, I've gotten an opportunity to meet some of these extraordinarily gifted people. The ones that come to mind are Leontine Price and Beverly Sills, who were two of my favorite singers.
Johnny, the record Merry Christmas, one of the best-selling Christmas albums of all time, was your seventh studio album, but it was your first Christmas album. And you were mentioning you did it for your parents.
Yeah, Mom and Dad were, you know, two of my favorite people in the world. They were the most wonderful, extraordinary people, raising seven children on domestic wages that they earned. And to this day, I marvel at what they did. But Christmas was always kind of special in the house, and they made it really special, even though they were, you know, not... had no money.
You don't have to have money to make the holidays special, though.
Yeah,
right?
And I got caught up in Christmas mostly because of the music, because I sang in a lot of choirs, and I used to sing in the choirs in school, and we would go to the different department stores, and they'd put us way up high someplace, and we'd sing for half an hour. And then we'd go and wander around the store, and then go back and sing for another half hour. We'd sing Christmas carols. And that's the thing that sort of I remember most. And of course, when I got an opportunity to record more or less whatever I wanted to at Columbia, the first thing I really wanted to do was make some Christmas music and dedicate it to my mom and dad.
You think about them when you hear those songs. You do.
Absolutely. They never leave me. I have their pictures all over the place. And of course, I have three of my brothers and sisters are still around, and we get together all the time. We're very close, and I've been able to do a lot of things that, and especially around Christmas time, it means a lot to a lot of people. And I love being able to help people out around Christmas time.
Well, all of Johnny's Christmas albums and his latest, Johnny Mathis Sings the Great New American Songbook, are available at Amazon.com. And for more on Johnny, you can visit JohnnyMathis.com. All right, tomorrow's Christmas Day. Enjoy this beautiful time of year. And thanks so much for spending some time with us here in Chicago this morning, Johnny.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be Christmas.
I love it. It is. Merry Christmas, Johnny.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Mr. Christmas, the legendary Johnny Mathis. Can't get better than that. Much more ahead on 720 WGN. And welcome back to you on WGN Radio, and those of you joining us on CLTV. I'm Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran this morning. So many forget the true meaning of Christmas, which celebrates the birth of Jesus. And to celebrate, we invited His Eminence, Cardinal Blaise Supich, who serves over 2.4 million Catholics in Chicago, to join us in studio. Merry Christmas to you, Cardinal Supich.
Good to be with you, Dave, and a wonderful group here in the studio with you.
Yeah, right? We had the whole family in here today. Good morning, Cardinal.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. You have a very busy day ahead. I know it starts at Lurie Children's this morning.
Yes. It's been a tradition going back to the time of my predecessors of visiting various hospitals, and Lurie is surely one of them that we want to be attentive to. I'm always taken by the parents, the way that they're so loving and devoted to their children, but also the healthcare workers. They're just very alive with their service and generosity, but also cheerfulness in spite of the fact that they see a lot of suffering.
Yeah, and they're working away from their families on Christmas Day
as well. They're very generous.
And then there's Midnight Mass tonight. That'll be simulcast on both WGN TV and radio. Then up again, joining my family for our annual Christmas show at 8:30 tomorrow, and masses all day, and you're going to be at the Cook County Jail. Are you napping at some point during this process?
Well, I hope to get in a nap this evening before Midnight Mass, and then use those batteries to get through.
I like that. I like that. Josh?
So you grew up in Omaha. What are your fondest memories as a child around Christmas time?
I think mostly it's on Christmas Day. In that morning, because we were all part of the early morning choir, the Croatian choir, we would go with my father and other people and do Christmas caroling to people that were shut in
and
other people. So we would go right from the 7:30 Mass out, and then we'd have a nice big breakfast and then a nice dinner afterwards. But it was always taking the joy of Christmas to other people.
That's wonderful.
Were there many traditions that you had around Christmas?
Yes, that was one, and of course the food.
Right.
We have a lot of delicacies that are part of the Croatian culture, which I grew up in. But I think also Christmas was it started that day. We didn't put our Christmas tree up until Christmas Eve,
right?
And then
was tradition.
Went all the way to the Feast of the Three Kings, where we then would go around with the pastor, and he would bless homes. And so it was a whole season.
So when Menards puts up their Christmas trees in July, that's really a little bit too early.
Or takes them down on the 26th.
Or takes them down on the 26th. That's right. That's right. Emma?
Merry Christmas, Cardinal Supich. You became a priest in 1975. How did you know you wanted to become a priest?
Well, you know, I didn't right away. My older brother was in the seminary, and then they came to me and said, well, we think you should go. And I said, well, isn't it like those coupons, one per family? And they said, no, it doesn't work that way. Well, in fact, I had two brothers at one time who were in the seminary, but my parents always said, you know, when you think about your life, make sure that you don't count out the church as a possible way of living your life. So we always had it on the radar screen.
That's interesting. My father was in the seminary for quite some time as well. And then he says my mother ruined it for him. So there you have it.
So you've met the Pope many times. What is he like?
Well, I have met him many times. He's just a regular person, has a great sense of humor, is very keen in terms of being able to look at a situation, but he also listens. He's a man who has a lot of information, but he has the ability to kind of take that, distill it, and then he becomes very decisive in his actions.
You were talking a little bit earlier during the break to Dave, Annette, and I about the Bears and the Vikings coming up. And you're right, we got to get rid of the Vikings at this point. Are we get to play them twice? Is that the story?
Well, potentially, yes, because depending on how the seedings work out, yeah, they could end up playing 2 weeks in a row, which, yeah, if you remember, that happened to the Bears and Packers,
right,
a few years ago, and the Packers ended up beating the Bears and going on to the Super Bowl.
That's true. That's true. But you've got it in for some prayers.
Well, I approach it this way. I just think if we beat them twice, it's all the sweeter.
That's right.
That's very true. Well said.
That's very true. We are living in one of the most divisive social and political climates of our time, and there's often growing hostility towards people of different nationalities, race, or beliefs. And in the Archdiocese here in Chicago, which really is overwhelming, Masses are said in over 25 different languages. And the church, to me, in attending weekly Mass, has always been a place of peace, and it needs to continue to be that place of peace where we can bring people together.
Exactly, and I think that that really is the story of Christmas, that we are given the opportunity to restart our humanity as Jesus takes it on, and gives us another way how we live our life. He's called the Prince of Peace.
That's right. That's absolutely right. What are your thoughts and advice to those who will be getting together today and tomorrow with friends and family where there might be some conflict? How can faith intervene to help provide that sense of peace?
Well, you know, Dave, as I was coming over, I was listening to the three tenors sing that beautiful Merry Christmas, War is Over. And the melody behind it was accompanied by children who said, "War is over if you want it." So it really depends on each one of us to make a decision of, are we going to live in peace with each other, starting with our own families, but also in society and in the world. So it is about each one of us stepping up.
It really is. It really is. We're going to have more with Cardinal Supich after this on 720 WGN. Merry Christmas to all of you. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran this morning, and we're in studio live with Cardinal Blaise Supich. Renew My Church is a large focus for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I attended the summit you hosted in September. Explain for those that really don't understand what this initiative is all about, what it is.
Well, the theme comes from St. Francis of Assisi, who had an experience of Jesus coming into his life and asking him to rebuild or renew the church. We took that theme as an opportunity for us to look at how we're going to organize ourselves going forward. We know that neighborhoods have changed. There are different demographics. We have a footprint of parishes, 350, throughout Cook and Lake County. And yet, at the same time, those are parishes that really have shrunk in population, while others have swelled. So how do we do this in a way that makes us good stewards? But the other part of it is, how do we do it in such a way that people's faith lives are impacted positively? Because that's really what it's all about. It's a reminder that we don't have a church with a mission, but we have a mission with a church. And so how are we going to allow the church to be reinvigorated and also sustainable long term? That's why the participation of each and every person in the church is important.
I was going to say, that is really the message, is that everybody has got a stake in this.
Exactly. And yeah, it's about not about protecting my turf, but how is it that each individual can take up with fresh vigor the mission of Christ once again in a way that brings the gospel to other people?
In late November, the Archdiocese announced new structures for 12 parishes and 10 schools as part of this initiative. You also announced recommendations for another 3 parishes and 2 schools. And although it's very difficult for these communities affected, we as an entire archdiocese have to make sure that we revitalize the churches all through the neighborhoods to ensure its growth for generations to come. And that means some things are going to change to make that happen.
Yes, and I don't want to underplay the suffering and the sorrow that will be a part of those changes. We know that it always brings that. People do have an affinity and a love for their own parishes, which is admirable. Yet at the same time, we also know that we have to give new life to these parishes moving forward so that other people have the same kind of experience of the gospel that they have today.
at our parish, St. Julianne on the northwest side, and our pastor, Father James Wallace, he made me drop his name, by the way. Just wanted to mention that. One of our biggest focuses is to gauge younger families to play a more critical role in planning for the future. And many families, and I know you see this throughout the Archdiocese as well, many families are very engaged in the school, but a large percentage in our parish, and most likely every parish across the country, we don't see them as much on Sunday, which is where faith begins. And especially those who are spending money on a Catholic education, why wouldn't you take your family to church on Sunday?
Well, I think that it is a question that all parents really have to struggle with, not only those who send their children to our schools, but those in religious education program. I've always said it really is unrealistic to have your child, drop your child off at school or religious education, go off and do the shopping, go to the bank, pick up the laundry, and think you can come back and pick up a Catholic. You just can't do that. The children know what faith means through their parents mostly rather than through an institution.
You have to lead by example, really, in all of this.
Right.
Yeah.
And but, you know, there are some I also realize that there are a lot of parents who struggle with time management given the busyness of both of them working.
Two working parents,
exactly. And sometimes working more than one job. But the church has to help them with this.
Gotcha. There has been so much violence in the city, and the Catholic Church has taken so many initiatives over the past year or two, especially since you've been in place, to help curb some of that with after-school programs and other programs throughout the city.
Yes, that's important. You know, there has to be approached on a number of levels. First of all, building trust within communities between law enforcement and the citizens to report crimes, to assist the police, and yet the follow-up by the police. It also has to happen, it seems to me, in building stronger families because that's where it starts. But also, we have to deal with the fact that there's a lot of joblessness in these communities, and young people feel they have no option. So all of those areas have to be a part of that, as well as the church is having a spiritual renewal for people to realize that they can live in a better way.
But you're right, it's not just one thing.
It is not one thing, and it's going to take everybody.
Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese does so many great things. One issue I would like to highlight is homeless prevention, which is even more difficult during the frigid weather. Catholic Charities has a homeless prevention center, one of the largest in the nation. It usually, you know, it responds to almost 400,000 calls with financial assistance. On any given night in the city of Chicago, 7,000 people will find themselves homeless, which impacts a person beyond having a roof over their head, but Catholic Charities is there to help them.
Well, our Catholic Charities is the largest in the country, and it's the largest provider of social services in the state. There are thousands, 3,000 people who work for them, but hundreds of volunteers, many of them young people. We're finding that we're engaging young people in the faith through their generosity in Catholic Charities, and I think that that's very inspiring to me.
Well, this Christmas, it is really easy to forget about the true meaning of the season. So to share his Christmas message with you is His Eminence Cardinal Blaise Supich.
The message of Christmas is that God is with us, revealed in the face of a child. We instinctively know this as we experience something quite unique and beautiful through the gift of children in a family. They reveal something to us of the divine in their spontaneity and their joy, which are moments of grace. Hope is stirred in our hearts as we dream about their futures. So let us first of all give thanks for the gift of children this Christmas, and let each child remind us that God has not abandoned us, but cares for each of us as we care for children, loving them unconditionally. The story of the child Jesus is both common and extraordinary. He, like many children today, was born in poverty, wrapped in rags in a stable, and yet is the one through whom all things were made. He shared the vulnerability of our human condition with his parents, traveling to Bethlehem, escaping from danger as a refugee, and yet we call him Mighty King, with everything put at his feet. Joseph, known as his father, was a carpenter, yet Jesus is a son of God, the Word made flesh, the glory of the angels, and the long-awaited Savior. Each of our lives, too, are touched by the common and the extraordinary. By taking on our human nature, Jesus shares with us his divinity. What a great exchange. And so whatever challenges we may face this Christmas season, be comforted in the knowledge that God is with us, His mercy, His hope, the joy that only the Christ child can bring. God bless you and all of your loved ones this holy season.
Cardinal Blaise Supich, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Dave, and to your family.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas. All right, top stories are next on 720 WGN.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you what. Santa Claus is coming to town.
All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran this morning. Santa is on his way. Josh, you've been tracking Santa as well all morning long on the NORAD Santa Tracker. Where is he again?
Currently, he's in Perth, Australia. He's on his way to the settlement, Christmas Island, in about 3.5 minutes.
That's crazy. So he is ridiculously busy, Dave.
I think Jen mentioned earlier he was already in Australia. I think he's taking way too much time in Australia.
Yeah, I know. Maybe he's got a girl there.
A couple minutes.
We'll see. We'll see what
That's
happens.
An interesting thought.
Santa, can you hear me? Are you live with us right now?
I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to your home. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Santa coming from the north side near the pole. Heidi, heidi.
Good morning.
Good morning, wow, nice Santa. By the way, I don't think that
good
rhymed.
Good morning.
Was that supposed to rhyme? Wasn't that supposed to rhyme the song itself? No?
Santa don't rhyme, Dave.
Sorry, I didn't know that.
I got rules. I got rules. That's one of them. I don't rhyme.
He doesn't have to rhyme. Santa.
I'm in the land of Down Under right now. Me and I take all the Elvises with me. we deliver, I don't know, is it Elvises? Elvi? How do you say plural for Elvis?
Elvi, I believe it's correct.
Elvi. I take the Elvi with me. I mean, all the kiddies know.
Plural.
So, hello, Elvi. They're all running around on the land of Down Under.
They probably are.
I just lost one to a crocodile.
Oh, no. Oh, nice. God.
Yeah, it's okay. I got a billion of them. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. Hey, Santa, Alex, our 6-year-old son, is in the studio. Alex, say Merry Christmas to Santa.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Hey, what's your name again?
Alex.
Oh, you don't mind if I just call you kid, do you?
Yes.
I'm going to call you kid.
That's fine. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
What do you want for Christmas this year, buddy?
Pokemon cards.
Oh, the Pokemon cards, yeah.
Oh, no.
Pokemon cards is pretty popular. I got to be honest with you, the Pokemon cards is, I ain't got none left.
Oh, you got none left.
I'll tell you what I'm going to get you, kid. Here's even better than that. Under the tree. I'm going to put it's by Ohio Art Etch-A-Sketch. Now listen to me. It's the best. You can draw anything, like stairs and boxes and cubes did I say stairs? You can do stairs, a bunch of them.
Thank you, Sam.
How about that, kid? Holy, holy high.
Do you want me to throw mine?
No, I don't think so. Well, that's very nice of you, Santa, to think about that Etch-A-Sketch. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the Pokemon cards.
The Pokemon.
They was out about a month ago. I think I lost them.
Oh, geez. That's too bad. Emma, how about you? Emma's 13. Emma, say hello to Santa.
Hi, Santa.
Hello. What's your name?
Emma.
I'm going to call you kid number two.
Sounds good.
You okay with that? Kid number two. You sound like a little lady.
Thank you.
What do you want for Christmas, Emma?
Don't ask me for Pokemon cards.
All right.
Okay.
A speaker.
You want a speaker?
Yeah. So I can play music on it.
Yeah, okay. Now you guys are just making up stuff. This stuff don't exist. I tell you what. You look under the tree, kid number two, and I'm going to get you. Get this. A hula hoop.
Ooh.
You see what I say? Hula hoop.
That's
it's a
nice.
Big round plastic thing you put around your waist, you shake it, it's hula hoop. Seconds and seconds of fun.
that sounds very nice. That sounds very nice. Hey, I got a text.
You'll probably toss it when you, with the tree, but for the morning, you'll have a great time. Hi,
Heidi ho.
It's I got a text here from 815 Santa. It says, would Santa be so kind to tell the Mueller kids, Samantha and Bobby, Bobby Joe, to be on their best behavior, or he may not stop here? I think we need to threaten these kids, I think.
I could do that. All you three kids, Samantha, Billy, and Booby, what were the names? Don't be bad.
Don't be bad.
Don't do bad things.
I agree.
Just show up, tell mommy and daddy, say, do something. You do it. You're like little slaves. That's how you got to live your life.
Okay, Santa, does that work for you? Okay, Santa, what is the greatest gift that you could give someone this holiday season? Maybe around the new year.
Well, there's two of them. One is Weebles.
Weebles wobble.
Here's a Sandy joke. What's the difference? Hang on.
Bless you.
Sorry.
Yeah, careful. Careful. Santa.
Never have pot stickers for breakfast. Never have pot stickers for breakfast. That's not me.
All right.
Santa got a special gift, a quadruple bypass, about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, so, wow. Congratulations.
Hey, kids.
Yeah.
Kids, can you all say something for me? Can you say Salem Santa 100s? Can you say that?
Salem Santa 100.
Yeah, there we go. You leave those. Forget the cookies. I need to buy like a carton of them. Okay, Weebles, here's my joke. You know what the big difference between Weebles and Santa is?
What's that?
I fall down. How about that one?
It's a classic. It's a classic.
Yeah, Dave, you went back to your question.
Yes.
Hidey-hidey-hole.
Yes.
Best question, best gift you could give around the holidays. Especially New Year's. The big thing this year is the Steve Cochran New Year's Eve show at the Tivoli Theater out there in Downers Grove. You get tickets on eventbrite.com.
Oh, that's
E-R-I-T-E.
Nice.
I'm going there with all the Elvises.
Who else is going to be there, Santa, with Cochran? Dean's going to be there. Dean Richards is going to be there, I think, right?
Dean Richards, a good friend of mine. I've been giving him gifts forever. Rocky Laporte's going to be there. Tim Baker's the announcer. John Dacus, I think his name is Dacus. I think it's how you say it. He'll be there too.
Dave?
It's DeCoss.
Yeah, that's not quite right. That's not quite right.
Are there five? How many kids in studio?
There's three of them here. You got three tickets for them?
Oh, no. They don't want nothing?
No.
Third kid don't want nothing?
They don't want anything.
Who, me?
No, Dave, how about you?
No, I'm good.
You're
Santa.
Good. All right.
Thanks anyway.
All right, Santa. It's been a pleasure. I know you're really busy, and we have to let you go now. Have fun.
Well, I'm in Australia. They got like eight people here.
I think it's more than that. You might have.
I'm gonna be out of here pretty soon.
You got the short list then. Merry Christmas, Santa.
Merry Christmas, DJ.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Hidey ho.
Merry Christmas.
Love you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Jingling, 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 jingling. Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
All right, welcome back once again. It's Dave Flyer in for Steve Cochran this morning. What a great show. I'm so glad all of you hung out with us today. And by the way, if you missed anything, we had Peter Billingsley from A Christmas Carol On. We had Johnny Mathis. We had Elliot Bamber from Chicago's Best. You want to catch any of those, Curtis will have them up a little bit later this morning at WGNradio.com. Are you kids excited about Christmas?
Yes.
Very.
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so. We all have our holiday traditions that we really enjoy every single year. Alex, what's your favorite holiday tradition or winter tradition?
Snowballs at Emma.
Oh, boy, that was loud. very good. But not in her face.
Yes.
Yeah, not in her face. I wouldn't say that. But you like making snow angels with your mom, too,
yes.
Right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Emma, how about you? What's your favorite tradition?
I like baking candy cane cookies.
Yeah, you know, we haven't done that this year yet. So are we going to squeeze that in maybe this afternoon or tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a favorite recipe. It's my grandmother's recipe. She used to bake, like, I don't know, 40 dozen, 50 dozen cookies. She used to give it. She used to give it to the postman and to the pastor and to neighbors and friends. And she'd always put on the bottom of the cookie tin, if you want cookies next year, you've got to bring these back to me by February 1st. So you got to finish all the cookies by that time. Josh, how about you?
Mine's definitely sledding. I love the snow.
And hanging out, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you like our holiday party, too, that we have every year, right?
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
Always a lot of fun.
We have, I was looking at the must-see holiday movies, and there's a bunch of lists that are out there right now, and there's a top 10 of holiday movies. Dave, you said, and you said that your favorite is Elf every year, right?
Yeah, that's become a tradition in our house.
Yeah, yes. On Christmas Eve to watch that.
Yep.
Now, for some reason, I'm looking at the websites, it didn't make this list, which I think is as big as Christmas Vacation or some of the more contemporaries, Christmas Story and stuff. Right. Number 10 is A Christmas Carol. What other movies would you think made that list, guys?
Christmas Story.
Christmas Story. Yep, they are. That is number 3.
Grinch.
The Grinch. Which one? With Jim Carrey.
Either.
No, cartoon. I'd say.
Nah, it's not a movie though. I would say the Grinch movie Jim is not Carrey. On this list. Mm-mm. No. What else? Elliot Bamber mentioned it earlier. Yes, Dave.
Home Alone.
Home Alone is Home on Alone. That list. Yep, yeah. that is number 5 on the list.
Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus. Not on the list. Alex.
Frosty
probably makes the best like claymation list, right? I mean, right. That's a lot of fun. Let's see here. Die Hard is what Elliot had mentioned is a Christmas movie.
That surprised me.
Well, I mean, it's all the movie does surround the Christmas season. It's a Christmas office party. So I think that's another one. 815, I think it's 815. I don't have my glasses on. People always forget that While You Were Sleeping is a Christmas movie. And I loved it and it was done in Chicago. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. Holiday Inn, which we've watched. It's like, you remember this one. So you remember that one?
No, I just
know. Oh, which one you got?
Rudolph.
Rudolph is a good one. Of course, you got to mention that one. Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh yeah.
Okay, which is
White
the old
Christmas?
Black and white. White Christmas is another one. Do you like White Christmas or Holiday Inn better?
White Christmas.
Do you remember these stories, Dave?
Sure.
Between the two?
Absolutely.
So one was really about Easter and all the seasons throughout the year, but White Christmas was really the ultimate classic, right?
Yes.
Let's see here. Scrooged. With Bill Murray. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the new version of A Christmas Carol. Mm. And that's still funny.
Oh, yeah.
Every single year to watch that. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
You know what? And we haven't sat down and watched that yet. Favorite part of that movie?
Probably the sledding part. When he takes the silver dish and just zooms through the forest.
Yeah. Very good.
I like when he captures his boss.
I like that one, too.
That's funny.
I like that one, too. 630 says A Muppet's Christmas Carol is the only version of the Christmas Carol that they like. Also, The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's kind of a Halloween Christmas movie, which you've seen. Which one, Alex?
Prep and Landing.
That's kind of a newer one, right? Yeah. That you like. And there's a couple of those, right?
Yes.
Is there any other cartoon ones that you like?
Nah, I don't think so.
How about The Heat Miser?
Yes.
And which one is that one? Is that The Year Without a Santa Claus?
That's The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Okay. What's Mom's favorite movie? Because that's the number one movie on the list.
Miracle on 34th Street.
No. Jimmy Stewart. Every Time a Bell Rings, an Angel Gets His Wings.
Oh, no, I was thinking about that.
It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life.
Forgot the name.
Yeah. It's an inspirational story, wouldn't you say? And then Elf, of course, as we mentioned earlier. What else? What else do we like doing over the holidays?
Well, last year we went ice skating at Wrigley Field, which was fun.
I just
went yesterday at Rosemont.
Have you done that, Dave?
I have not. Not since the Winter Classic in 2009 we skated there.
But Gallagher Way, I mean, just to stand outside there and be looking at Wrigley Field while you're ice skating around there.
Very cool.
Oh, man, it is the absolute best. And there's so many different restaurants and stuff you can do out there now, which just makes the whole experience even better. Dave Schwani, do you have any favorite Chicago traditions yourself that either you grew up with or...
Well,
you do
we
now?
Did come into town for Christmas, usually to see a show. I can remember the Mary Poppins Returns movie is big now. I have a memory. I don't think it was around Christmas, but I remember coming downtown with my parents to see the original Mary Poppins.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that was cool.
Going to the movies
and, you know, we did the traditional things. Marshall Field's dinner. And a show, and
sure.
Put that all in. Yeah.
We, this afternoon, I think we've got a couple errands we have to run. We still have some gifts to wrap, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe go head over to church, and then we've got Christmas at your grandma and grandpa's house, right?
Mm-hmm. Business
and then
minute. Sharing and...
Yellow. And then... what was that? And then sometime after that, I think tomorrow we're going to go to the hospital. So grandma's in the hospital. So that's the one thing we're going to do for a couple hours is go bring her some gifts and some goodies while she's there. And we all hope she's home soon, right?
She'll enjoy that.
Absolutely. Well, Merry Christmas to everyone here, and we'll be right back.